is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Well, Merry Christmas. This is the Great Shalom Broadcast. This is Sharon Sorrells, and this is our Christmas episode. I want to talk to you about the Incarnation. Great big word. It means that Jesus, the Son of God, came to us in the flesh. Let's start off with 1 Timothy 3:16. Been in Timothy lately. By common confession, it says, or no controversy, says in another version, so a New American Standard, by common confession, the secret of our godly worship is great, colon, in the flesh was he revealed to sight, kept righteous by the Spirit's might, adored by angels singing, to nations he was manifest, believing souls found peace and rest, our Lord in heaven reigning. Oh, that's different. Let's go back to King James. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, colon. Jesus was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So I want to talk to you about the mystery of godliness. And this is it. And it appears that this was the creed of the early church. People would stand up and say this as a confession, just like we do the Apostles' Creed, which is, I guess, more famous. But here, this one is recorded. The mystery of godliness is that God was manifest in the flesh, and everywhere in all times, this is central to the Christian faith. Many other scriptures, Jesus became flesh. John 1:1, the Word became flesh. This is what we're talking about in the Incarnation, that Jesus, the Son of God, came and became a human, a baby. And this is Orthodox doctrine, revealed in the flesh. And even though he existed as God, Philippians 2, even though he existed as God, became man and a humble servant and poured himself out unto death. And in Romans 8, God sent his Son as an offering for sin. So we have this doctrine across the New Testament, from John and Peter to Paul and the writer of Hebrews, which we won't get into, but we know who it is. Okay. Anyway, and so this is central to the Christian message, that God became flesh in Jesus. And in fact, we have proclamations that anyone who doesn't agree with this isn't a Christian. So this is what we are celebrating at Christmas, that Jesus came as a baby. And yes, we want to celebrate babies in general, but this baby is very special because it is God incarnating, in other words, God taking on human flesh. And so this is the central point, and this is what we are celebrating. So we do not have a God that we have to propitiate, that we have to turn his anger. We do not have a God who created humans simply to serve him, like some of the Babylonian gods. That's the story about them. Or that we have to commit some human sacrifice, as we have seen in some of the advanced American civilizations. You know what I'm saying, in what we now call the Americas, they did human sacrifice to appease the gods. So we don't have a God like that. We also don't have a God who is just a clockworker creation creator, makes a creation like a clock and steps away. We don't have simply a principle of life or a fountainhead of life that we don't know about. On the contrary, we have a God who loves us and who came to be with us, knows exactly what it means to be in the flesh, in time and space and matter, and died for us, that we could be taken to where he is, that we sit with him in heavenly realms, that Christ is in us and we are in him. Christ is in us, 1 Corinthians 1 and 3. We are in Christ. 1 John 5 and 2, we are in him. Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So this is not some creation of only one portion or one teacher, and certainly not my creation, but this is what is central to the Christian religion. That God incarnated, that's what Christmas is about, that Jesus came as the Son of God who existed as God and then came, took on flesh, and was truly a baby with all the fragility and hindrances and annoyances that would entail, being a baby and then a man and then a sinless sacrifice for us. That is the mystery of godliness, but there is more. That we now are the recipients of Jesus. We are in him and he is in us. And so we are invited into the family of God. Now, that's just so enormous that it takes your breath away. So Jesus came to be in our family, the family of humans, and we are now invited into the throne room of God and into his family through Christ, not because of our own righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Jesus. This is what we're talking about in Christmas. So, yes, let us go. I was going to say whole hog. Hog is not the right word. Let's go all in to celebrate. And however your tradition celebrates, great. But let's recognize the wonderful glory of Jesus coming to us, the heart-touchingness of the great God pouring himself out, becoming humble as a servant, fragile as a baby, so he knows what we go through. Yes? And then the tragedy and heart-rendingness of dying the death on the cross for us, taking our sin upon himself for us. This is a great mystery of godliness. But then we have died with him. You know, often we believe only one little portion of the scripture, and we should press in and understand all of the mystery because it has been given to us. I was just reading this morning in Galatians, and I just have to turn there for it. I have been crucified with Christ. Have been. Okay, this is have been. So this is a present perfect tense. If I remember my grammar, this is a completed action that has resonance and meaning for the present. I have been crucified with Christ. Therefore, I am dead with Christ. And it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Galatians. This rings through the century. We know who wrote this. We know it was within the living lifetimes of the apostles. We know that this is historically accurate. This is what Christianity is and has always been, to the extent that we've understood it and believed it. Jesus was God and came to be human that we could be forgiven of our sins and cleansed and made righteous and live by the faith of the Son of God who lived and delivered himself up for me. So you've got to understand the first part, that who Jesus was and how man is saved, but that opens the door to a vast invitation of how we should then live. And if Jesus walked about doing good, releasing people from the oppression of the devil and healing, so shall we. And this is what Christmas is. In the very darkest time of the year, we celebrate. Now, I know this is not when Jesus died, because we could go on. But we happen to celebrate it at this time of year in December. It's a dark time of year. The days are short. But we have the light of the Lord shining, and we celebrate the incarnation, Jesus, God, coming as a baby for us and for our salvation and bringing us into the family of God. So that's what Christmas is about. So let us attempt to convey this to our children. This is not simply, well, we have to go to church today, but this is a huge, pivotal time in our lives and a pivotal time in all of history when we realized the great invitation that we had by God. So let us put the lights out. Let us put the decorations out. Let us go to church. Let us sing the carols. May they ring through our cities that this is a joyful time and that we believe in a God who is for us. And let us live out by faith. Let's apprehend by faith that He is in us. He cleanses us. So He forgives us and He cleanses us and He lives through us and creates a wonderful new year. Okay? So He blesses us with witty inventions. He helps us serve others and we rejoice. It is a time of rejoicing with our families. So, yes, whatever the particular things that your family does, your tradition does, some of that is somewhat arbitrary. So I don't care if you're cooking a goose or a turkey, and I don't care if you open your presents in Christmas morning or on the Day of the Kings or whatever. That's really not the point. The point is that God has incarnated and has done so for us. He became part of our family so that we might become part of His family. That's what Christmas is about. That is the great mystery of godliness. So let's unpack that for ourselves and for our children. So let's have some ideas what we can do with our kiddos at Christmas time. Well, in my family, my mother made a big production of making we celebrated Thanksgiving, but she made a big production of Christmas cake. She had a particular fruitcake recipe that was superior to other people's, no Citroën, and it was a big production the week of Thanksgiving. And so if we had had all of Thanksgiving week off, as so many children do today, then we would have been breaking our arms stirring that and making Christmas cakes with her. One thing we did do is we always made one for the pastor, and the little girls got to, meaning me and my sister, we got to run up and hand it to the pastor at the door of his house and then run back to the car. Those were good memories. And we often went to Christmas parties. I remember that pastor having a wife who had excellent cookies, and we enjoyed the parties. And I think this is entirely useful. All right. I really want to make doing the Christmas decorations, I want to make that fun. All right. So if you have a tradition that includes sweating and cussing and fighting, let's just stop that one. Okay, so make it all fun. Okay, like going and getting the Christmas tree. If that can't be a fun outing, then send the guy who is the most invested and just have it happy. Okay, we often took a car ride around to look at the lights. That's wonderful. And some churches now have living nativity scenes. Our church did that often. We weren't participants, but we made a point to drive by. one church close to where I now live has a much more elaborate. They use all of their property, which is considerable, and they have 12 scenes from the life of Christ. And this is very popular in our town. The nights on when it is open, the cars are lined up and the people are lined up. There are thousands of people that file through, and that's a testament to how popular it is. And they're able to give a real explanation of the gospel story to people who may not otherwise consider it. So there is a scene of Mary and the angel and a scene of Jesus being whipped, and everyone is explained. And so it's a wonderful production, and those people who spend their fall getting all that ready, I'm sure they're quite blessed. And there are wonderful organ concerts in some towns. If your church has an organ, then I really encourage you to have an organ concert at Christmas time. You know, in some countries, all summer, there are organ concerts, and this is a wonderful opportunity to share the gospel, explain what the music, why it was written, and what's going on, and invite other people. And food is always welcome. So how about after the organ concert, having some wassail or some hot chocolate and some whatever cookies, goodies, and actually meeting the people who are coming to enjoy your concert, and just be humans so that they can see that you are hospitable and you're okay. And if they're not Christians, if they came simply because it's a lovely organ concert, all the better. And of course, there are many Christians who are looking for a good church, but many, many more who aren't practicing anything but who would like some organ concerts. So make that more widely available. Yes, and Handel Messiah, woohoo! And I love the great presentations, but you know what I love even better is when I can sing along. And, you know, I'm not going to be in the choir, don't have that talent, but I love to sing Handel's Messiah. And I remember once when I was a teenager, the guy I was dating was in a very large church, and so their choir had sung Handel's Messiah. And so when we went caroling, we sang Handel's Messiah. That was really awesome. I really enjoyed that. And I hope they don't remember how badly I sang. But caroling is a wonderful thing. Today, maybe it's better to check with neighbors and be sure that the sick and shut-in want to have that. But it was wonderful going from house to house when I was a youngster, and I encourage you to do that. And I'm sure there's probably many old folks' homes that would be happy to arrange for your group, especially if you have a choir, to come and give a presentation there. You know, so many people are lonely at the holidays, and so many of these older people are lonely and would love to have such an event in their lives. You know, there are also working people who are very, very lonely. You know, half of all adults are not married, and most people over 50 don't have children in their home, and if they do, they may be so busy, and so they're lonely for other reasons, and so than poverty or inability. And so make those events available on your website. And when they come, try to be a little hospitable. So don't be so busy serving cookies that nobody can say, hello, who are you? You live down the street, whatever, okay? So you probably have some sort of a Christmas program in your church. Please post that on your website. Put a sign out in your lawn and say, everybody is welcome, because people don't know that. People do not know that your church is open to anyone. And there are so many stories about how judgmental Christians are that, and of course, I don't know that Christians are more judgmental than anybody else. But anyway, there are so many stories that I think the majority of the population, at least in the metro area where I live, really would be afraid to just show up to some church, like you know, you wouldn't just show up to some club if you hadn't been invited. So why should you show up to some church? Well, because churches are inviting people who want to come and worship and be part of their program. So go ahead and put up a sign and say, you know, Christmas pageant, everyone invited, and so forth. Of course, you should have security. And you should have security always, but certainly for public events like that. And I guess church service is a public event. Take your children to church on Sunday. Now, you may not have the Sunday service as usual, but go to the services that you do have. And if your church doesn't have a service on Christmas Eve, go to somebody else's. Now, notice that many churches are such that that's the big night for them. And so you might have to plan ahead. I remember my daughter's church. I went for Christmas Eve with her, and they were so packed out. Everyone had to have a child on their own knee. And so just, you know, try to find out, plan ahead, and roll with the punches. Okay? Go for it. And explain this to your children. But most importantly, read that story. I would recommend the story from Luke. Okay? Luke, New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Okay? So you've got a couple of chapters there. You can read that, the story of Jesus and being born. Okay, great is the mystery of godliness. Great is our rejoicing. And we are celebrating what we call theologically the incarnation of Jesus. And may we walk around and be that kind of reflection of Jesus. Because if Jesus is in our heart, he should be shining out. So you might also do something charitable. You might. In fact, I have a group that I've been in for many years, and last year we had an event. We all brought various toiletry items, and then we put it around a big table, and we went around the table, and so we had one toothbrush and one toothpaste and one candy bar, whatever. That's not a toiletry item, but you get the idea. One of each item in each bag, and then each of us took at least one bag to give to homeless people. And it was kind of a random act of kindness for those who are homeless that they got a little bag at Christmas time with some goodies, maybe a hand warmer or something in that. So something charitable. I think probably the local Ronald McDonald House might welcome a box of homemade cookies. You can call them and ask, or maybe not in our town, but in some towns that would. And find some way to spread the joy that God came to us to give us life and light. And so celebrate that and spread the joy. And do this every day. If you are in a tradition that says all days are alike, fine. According to how you read scripture, fine. But it still obtains, right? That Jesus came to us to spread life and light and joy. So let's be spreaders of light and life and joy. And no better time than now at Christmas. All right? And many, many good things you can find to do with your children. All right. Now, come back next year. We're going to talk about some things you should teach your children so you can mature them up, so you can leave a legacy in them, but leave some memories this month. Okay. So this is Sharon Sorrells proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children. Come to the website, www.greatshalom.org, www.greatshalom.org. God wants total well-being. Shalom is well-being. Or if you'd like to send us a gift, then you may mail that. P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. We are not a 501c3 any longer, as it didn't pay for itself. But we are still here giving to you and wishing you the merriest of Christmas.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom Broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom Broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.